I am not ashamed of the gospel. The word gospel means good news, and this is good news, and it's good news about salvation through Messiah Jesus. And salvation is our greatest need, salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death. And this message, this good news, and this message alone is the power of God that unleashes salvation to everyone who believes this message, first to the Jewish people and then to everybody else. Well, shalom. This is Rabbi Loren Jacobs coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. And my guest today is a friend of mine, Rabbi Chaim Erbach. He was born and raised in Israel. His father, Eliezer, was a Holocaust survivor. His parents, both Polish Jews, came to know Yeshua early in his childhood, and under their influence, he met Messiah in 1963, and then the family immigrated to North America in 1964. Rabbi Chaim is the founder of Congregation Yeshuat Zion in Denver. He received a MA in Biblical Studies from Denver Seminary, and he serves as an adjunct professor at Denver Seminary, teaching in the Messianic Jewish Studies program. Chaim, my friend, my fellow co-worker, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Glad to be here.
And glad to have you. Chaim, give us your story, maybe your parents' story, your family's story. How did the living God reveal himself to you and your mom and dad? How has Jesus made you kosher?
My parents, as you mentioned, are Polish Jews. We're Polish Jews. They're now with the Lord. They're came to Israel. My parents, my maternal grandma and paternal grandma were Zionists. They came to Israel before the war. My father came to Israel after the war. He lost all his family, and we emigrated to Brazil. And my father and mother both were looking for answers. And at some point, they came into the connection with the Messiah Jesus. My father and mother both accepted him, embraced him as their Messiah. We came to Israel, and we had been there for a number of years, and then we immigrated to Canada. I came into the kingdom of God personally as a child, as you mentioned, under the influence of my parents. But like everybody else, our relationship with God has to be something that is very personal. And sometimes we have a South Pacific kind of an experience, you know, bells ringing and so on. Other times it's more quiet and real nonetheless, and that was my experience. Over a period of time, I came into the knowledge of just who Jesus, Yeshua, is. I fought and struggled like we all did, and my joy is to tell you that he is faithful, that as despite the fact that we struggle with him like Jacob did, he is faithful. And so I am at 61. Want to tell the listeners, you all, that God knows you, God understands you intimately, and is greater than all the issues you struggle with.
Appreciate that, Chaim. Back to your mom and dad. How do you know the story, how they actually came to know the Lord? Was it some Christians witnessing to them? Was it Messianic Jews witnessing to them?
We were living in a small town in Brazil called Americana at that point, and the fellow that my father worked with, who was very, very zealous for the Lord, very zealous to convey the gospel to my father was not someone who was Jewish. In fact, he really knew nothing about Jewishness. He didn't even know that we were Jews. He was just concerned about sharing the good news with my father, and that's exactly what he did. And he invited him to come to his congregation. And over a period of time, my father saw that these folks had the real thing in their life, something he had never, ever seen before. And the opportunity was given for him to accept Yeshua as his Messiah and at a service, and he did that. My mother, on the other hand, had a vision of Jesus, Yeshua, and she's not the sort to have visions and dreams, so you know that God had a very special plan to get a hold of her. But that's what happened in Brazil in 1954.
I always liked your mom and dad. I saw them at the conferences, your dad in particular. You know, he and I would talk. He was always, you know, warm and friendly and encouraging. He was involved in Jewish ministry, and he looked so Jewish, Chaim. And, you know, he was like one of our elder statesmen in the movement. So I really appreciated your parents.
Well, they were. At the time that my folks were involved in ministry, the number of Jews who had accepted Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah, was very small. In fact, we knew just about everybody in our community. And yes, it was a very difficult time. Because our community, and this was both in Israel and also in the United States, our community was small, but at some point God broke through and did amazing things, and my parents were right there and were involved and able to be role models for all the young Jews who had come into the kingdom of God.
And your dad, the Lord used your mom and dad to start a number of Messianic congregations in Colorado and I think New Mexico. Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Well, my father worked for an organization that is now known as Chosen People Ministries, and part of his ministry was traveling and going different places in Western United States. In all over Colorado, New Mexico, and other states as well. And part of the process was that he met new Jewish believers who had come into the kingdom of God and didn't know how does one live as a follower of Yeshua, Jesus, and how does one maintain and cultivate their Jewish identity? And so my father looked like a rabbi, and he was obviously very Jewish. Both my parents were very much so. And my father challenged people, challenged these young Jews to serve God in a Jewish context. And the Messianic Jewish movement had just started then. There were about three Messianic Jewish congregations in the entire United States, and we had become involved with one of them. Actually, my father and a number of people and myself founded a congregation here in Denver, and so that was a model for us, and that was something that my father brought to people's attention and said, you know, this is something that you can do.
Yes, your dad was a real chalutz, a real pioneer in Messianic Judaism, Messianic congregational ministry. Love that beard of his, too. That was that was always encouraging. And you're currently the rabbi and founder of Yeshuat Zion, the Salvation of Zion Congregation in Denver. You're teaching at the Denver Seminary. Let's talk about the things that are really important to you these days. You mentioned that being Yeshua-centered is really important. Tell us why. What does that mean, and why is it important?
Well, you can describe our movement, the Messianic Jewish movement, as a spiritual renewal movement. And if you study the history of renewal movements, you will know that God does amazing things, and the Spirit of God touches the lives of people, and they come into the kingdom of God in huge numbers. And then often what happens is that you have all kinds of confusion, because you know that God is at work, but Satan, the adversary, is also at work seeking to thwart the work that God does. And there is typically a lot of confusion that comes about on the heels of these renewal movements, and that is what has happened with our movement. We began very strong and very zealous for the gospel of Yeshua, the good news of Jesus, and part of what has happened over the last 25 years or so, there's been a great deal of emphasis on things that were other than Yeshua. In other words, there's been focus on all kinds of secondary issues that I have seen in people's lives, including my life, that have driven our attention away from the Lord. And so when we began Yeshua Tzion, our commitment was that our congregation would be Yeshua-centered. In other words, everything that we do has to lead us in one form or another to a greater walk, a greater maturity in just who he is. And Yeshua-centered for us means that, yes, we are a Messianic Jewish congregation, but we are first of all a Messianic. In other words, we are about the Messiah, and so that's what it means to be Yeshua-centered.
So evangelism is important to you?
You bet, because following Yeshua, part of the process means that if we are satisfied customers, that we tell other people about it, both individually and also as a congregation. And so this has very much been a part of our vision and our heart from the very beginning.
Chaim, how does being Yeshua-centered affect your worship and the life of your community from within? You know, yeah, talk to us about that.
Well, we devote a great deal of our life corporately, our services, to worship, because we feel that if we devote our attention to worship, which basically has to do with remembering who God is, then everything else comes into clarity and into focus, into perspective, because regardless of whether things are good or bad, whether they're easy or difficult, when we are able to stop back and recognize the fact that the Lord is in control, it gives balance and perspective to us. And so, to be specific, for example, all the holidays that we celebrate, we just celebrated Purim, the Feast of Esther. We're going to be celebrating Passover, Pesach, and all of the holidays that we celebrate, in one form or another, have to draw people's attention to the fact that Yeshua is the Messiah.
How about your preaching and teaching on a Shabbat? You use the, you know, a lot of Torah, you know, the five books of Moses. Any Brit Chadashah, New Testament passages? How does being Yeshua centered affect your preaching and teaching on a Saturday?
To be Jewish, the answer is yes to all of that. of course, I preach from the Torah. I preach from the prophets. I preach from the New Testament, because it's all part of a package deal. And in one form or another, the emphasis has to be not about me and religion and the good things that I do, but rather my connection to Yeshua.
You talked about the importance of being Yeshua-centered as opposed to other emphases that have started creeping into the Messianic Jewish movement. I would guess Torah observance is one of those main emphases. There's even Gentile conversions to Judaism that are a new emphasis among some. Do you share my concerns about some of those issues?
Absolutely. In our area, there has been an awful lot of conversion of Gentiles to Judaism. Let me be very quick to emphasize that that is illegitimate. It's bogus, because a legitimate conversion to Judaism requires that the convert renounce their previous faith. So someone who is a Gentile believer in Jesus cannot undergo conversion to Judaism, because that would require that they would give up their commitment to Yeshua. Part of the issue with all of this, both with the Torah observance and with conversion, in one form or another, has to do with our identity. Who do we see? How do we see ourselves? How do we define ourselves? And part of the issue the main issue that I'm seeing is that for a lot of people, identity is a source of great deal of confusion. And from a shepherd's pastoral heart, a rabbi's heart, this is especially grievous, because the Word of God challenges us to be people who are anchored and rooted in our identity as sons and daughters of God and as servants of God. And as we grab onto that with both hands and both feet, we're going to be balanced and we're going to be whole. We're not going to look to identify ourselves as something that we're not. In other words, that we're going to be comfortable in our own skin. And I'm seeing that the hyper-Torah observance, in other words, the unbalanced Torah observance, and there is a legitimate Torah observance. We know that the early followers of Yeshua were Torah observant. However, their screen was, first of all, filled with their commitment to who Yeshua is, and Torah observance was part of that. It didn't subsume or shove Yeshua out into a corner.
I agree with you, and I like your distinction between hyper-Torah observance and Torah observance. Acts 21 records that there were tens of thousands of Jewish believers in Jesus in the first century in Jerusalem who were zealous for the Torah, who were followers of Jesus but living a very, you know, Jewish, Torah-centered lifestyle, and that was perfectly okay. Chaim, you know, I share your concern also with those who are seeking to get their identity from things like Torah observance, when our main identity should be from our relationship with the three-in-one God, understanding that joined to Messiah, we are complete. We have every spiritual blessing that is available in heaven simply because we are the sons and daughters of God. So I really appreciate your emphasis on being Yeshua-centered. You also mentioned that one of the things that's important to you is that redemption is available for the wounds of the Holocaust. Your family experienced the Holocaust. Tell us what you're thinking about that.
There are hundreds of thousands of Jewish people, both in the United States and in Israel, who are Holocaust survivors, and several hundreds of thousands beyond that. In other words, millions of Jewish people who are second and third generation. And part of what I've seen, I've studied this for very personal reasons, is the fact that the Holocaust has been like a gaping wound on the inside of Jewish people. And part of what's been a strong motivator for me is the fact that, yes, we have to acknowledge and realize that for us who have the Holocaust connection, the wounds are there, not only the survivors, but the second and third generations. There have been hundreds and hundreds of studies done with survivors, and the wounds are very, very deep. But what often people in our community don't realize is that the wounds don't have to remain there, because we have a Messiah who has promised to us and who demonstrate to us the power to bring about redemption to those wounds. And what I've also seen is that this is something that is cross, not only cross-generational, but also cross-cultural, in the sense that those traumas, those kinds of traumas exist not only for Jewish people, but also for non-Jews. For example, children of veterans from the different wars, from World War II and the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, people have come back with post-traumatic stress disorder, and the secular therapy provides very limited answers. It shows those wounds, but it really is not able to go deep and provide the kind of healing that is needed. And so part of my passion is to see people recognize the fact that, yes, the wounds are there, but redemption is available through Messiah Yeshua.
Amen. Well said. In about 1 minute, what would you say to a Jewish person who is listening to us right now on Jesus Made Me Kosher?
I would encourage whoever is listening and who is Jewish to recognize the fact that God is waiting for you, and that he is eager for you to come into a relationship with him, to come to know him, and to have your life established and rooted and balanced both here now and also in terms of life beyond.
And very briefly, to a Christian who's listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, who has a Jewish friend, coworker, or family member.
Scripture says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to the Jew first, and also to those who are non-Jews. Your Jewish friend needs to hear about Jesus, and you are the means for them to hear him. Typically, the majority of Jews who come to faith in Jesus come to know him through Gentile friends.
Chaim, thank you. Thank you so much for being my guest today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. You were really great. I appreciate your time. I pray the Lord's blessing on you and your family and Yeshuat Zion and the teaching you're doing at Denver Seminary. And just the Lord continue you to bless you and encourage you, my dear brother.
May the Lord bless you too, Lauren.
Thank you, Chaim. Well, this is Rabbi Lauren. Jesus Made Me Kosher. As Chaim said, Passover is coming up, and we're having a couple Passover Seders this year. We're opening it to the Christian community. Bring your Jewish friends. Come yourself. More information is on the Shema website, which is shema.com, shema.com. Or you can call Jennifer at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. From all of us at Congregation Shema Yisrael, I pray that you experience shalom, shalom, God's perfect peace.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.